Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory.
Great to have you with us. Joining us,
inventory. With the Sunbury Motors Guarantee and a great service department that handles it all. And speaking of that, we know that SMC stands for Sunbury Motor Company. Selling more cars, satisfying more customers. With that comes the need for many great behind-the-scenes employees. So when you have a 170-year-old dealership, you've earned trust, and people go to you. So you need more people. So they're looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body, frame and alignment, and towing departments. So whether you're an experienced technician, an entry-level technician looking for that first job, or someone looking for a career change, they would love to hear from you. Stop by in person. Apply online at sunburymotors.com or call Todd at 286-7746. Our play-by-play call of the day. Maybe not. Guess it's not going to happen. All right. By the way, one of the fun parts yesterday is a minor league player in Springfield, Missouri, Double A, who last night hit a solo homer, a two-run homer, a three-run homer, and a grand slam. And that is known as the cycle of home runs. It's only the second time it's ever been done. And that was in Double A at Springfield. All right. From Fan Nation at SI.com. The outstanding Mark Wogenrich. Mark, great to have you with us.
Now from FanNation at SI.com, Mark Wogenrich on the Andrew and Moore Tree Surgeon Online. Mark, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hello, Mark. I think he left.
My mistake. How are you, Steve? Pressing buttons.
You notice I have a producer, which takes away
not
all
his
the,
fault, not his which, fault at
which,
all.
Which takes away everything from Steve pressing buttons.
That's a good point, yeah.
So Steve doesn't press buttons. That way it takes away that foul ball factor from me. How you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Okay, interesting time. They're going to scrimmage tonight for the first time. You know, I know you couldn't be at the media gathering yesterday, but what are some of the takeaways you've had so far from interacting with the team at media day and so forth?
One of my main ones, it was really interesting the way Sean Clifford described becoming, and I mischaracterized it to him, as becoming a CEO. He's technically not the CEO of Limitless, his NIL agency. That's his brother. I'm Liam. He's the chief development officer. But in founding a company, what he said is that's made him a better quarterback in some ways, that it's allowed him to take the jersey off, so to speak. And he's doing something else. In the morning, he's talking with clients. He's talking with other CEOs. You know, he's getting deals done. He's, you know, commissioning the next phase of NIL for his company, for his clients, and things like that. And I think that's pulled him out of that environment a little bit, and which he said had worn on him in certain instances, you know, especially when things went wrong in the losing streaks of the last couple of years. And it's given him a reset switch. It's made him really appreciate football, I think, that much more. And I was really struck in talking about that with him, and I wrote about it coming out of Media Day on Saturday, and how I just think I see a lot of things aligning for Sean this year. I mean, we've talked multiple times about the fact that he and Mike Yurcich are together again. He has, I think, a really nice collection of, you know, I think he called it the three-headed monster of three really sharp receivers in Parker Washington, Keandre Lambert-Smith, and Mitchell Tinsley. It sounds like he's really incorporating the freshman running backs into that run game with Kevon Lee and Devin Ford, Keziah Holmes, and the tight ends. You know, one of them just showed up on that Bruce Feldman's freak list, Tyler Warren.
Yeah.
And I just feel like he's got, you know, metaphorically the ducks in a row for this year. And I've always kind of looked at Sean as the make or break point of their offense. The offensive line notwithstanding, run game notwithstanding, everything's got to cycle around him. They're in a better position at quarterback, but I still think with him, he's your highest ceiling as of this point on that team, or your highest floor, excuse me, as, you know, for this season.
Right.
On that team. And, you know, with him being, I think, at his peak and feeling like he's got everything in order, I think you got to feel pretty good about where they're going to be headed offensively, which is not something I would have said coming out of last year.
You referenced the offensive line and the running game in that answer about Sean. You get to the last quarter and a half of a game. What can a competent and threatening running game mean to Sean Clifford?
He's a pretty good play action guy.
Yes.
And if somebody, you know, and if a defense believes that his play action means something because they are running effectively, that's huge. If they actually believe that there's an effective run game to be had on, you know, like a, you know, a third and short or something like that, and Sean can tuck a play action, you know, he could tuck a play action ball and throw downfield a little bit, you know, get a big play. They missed not having a big play run. You know, a lot of things with the run game last year, but not having a big play running game really kind of took away from Sean's ability, I think, to create more big plays just across the board. Everything just seemed to be, you know, with Keandre and Jahan Dotson primarily, you know, with the big play and Parker Washington, but that's where they concentrated it almost entirely. And I just think if they can get a run game that can get them a 15-yard gain sometimes, you know, rushing, you know, running backs that can break a tackle or it can get a little hole, and it's not just 3 yards, it's 6, 8, or 10. Is there a 50-yard gain in there somewhere? They had their longest carry was 44 yards last year, which that's really out of character for the Penn State run game, even historically over the past 8 years. It just helped him in so many other ways, and it means that he doesn't have to run the ball, too. He can play action to run,
yeah,
and he can zone read to run, but he doesn't have to take that responsibility unto himself. So, you know, and the other thing is, yeah, converting a third and two. When you know you need to convert it, James Franco has mentioned that countless times over the past few years. When you know you need to convert a third and two and you do it on the ground, it makes you feel a lot better about the other downs that precede it.
Obviously, the fans are always going to be interested in the players they have not seen before.
Right.
Because there's no, you know, there's a level of excitement of the unknown. They have obviously recruited a class that they're excited about, and the fans are excited about. What has been the read from the veterans as to what they think of the new players?
I know Sean sounded really... He kind of counts it a little bit, but he'd like the freshmen as a total of... the freshman running backs, I mean, as a total of that run game.
Yeah.
And how they can provide, like what I said, maybe some breakaway ability or some tackle-breaking ability that they didn't have, or at least pressure, you know, the other running backs ahead of them to be better at those skill sets. And a couple of guys on the defensive line were really high. You don't really hear, you know, defensive line is kind of a hard thing to break into as a young player.
Sure.
And they were really, really high on Dennis Sutton and Zane Durant as being potential contributors. I think we mentioned this maybe before.
Yeah.
The depth of the defensive line doesn't mean those guys have to be 25-player-a-game players.
That's right.
They can be situational guys. They don't, you know, contribute doesn't mean they have to be all Big Ten. Contribute means they can get 10 or 12 really important reps at a certain time in a game that will break P.J. Mustafa or Devon Ellis or Deese Isaac or Nick Tarbert or Steve Eben or whoever, then it gets them off their feet and gets them out of the game. And it also gets them in a situation where it's not they're playing in the fourth quarter against Ohio or something like that, but they're going to play maybe meaningful snaps at Auburn. Like meaningful snaps, I mean, in the third quarter when the game is starting to get that in that on-the-line element, and they need to, they need to get a stop on a drive in the third quarter, stuff like that. You put guys in those positions, those are meaningful snaps, even if there's eight of them a game.
Yeah, and that's important because it sounds like Manny Diaz could play if they, you have to stay healthy to do this, so you have to couch it. They could play as many as 22 to 27 different guys on defense. Yeah. Which does change the thought process of how you play the fourth quarter because you have fresh players to do it.
Imagine the number of guys they can play because of the young player, not necessarily true freshmen, but the younger, the redshirt freshmen, and the sophomores, guys who did play last year on that defense. There's a secondary with, seven or eight guys who could rotate that in there. And then the options that frees you up to play more nickel, take a linebacker off the field if you need to, if you feel like the linebacker is your weakest depth spot, that you can concentrate the linebackers on the field who you feel are at the, really at the best of their positions, Curtis Jacobs, and if you feel really good like Jonathan Sutherland sort of thing, you can pull guys in and out. You can play those, the back end guys, and really not lose a step, and actually be better situationally, obviously, against passing offenses.
The Purdue game is, of course, coming up in 3 weeks. It's going to be. How do you feel about conference games as season openers?
I actually kind of like it. I liked it last year, even though I didn't go to Wisconsin. There was an atmosphere. I felt like that built up around that game, and a lot of it probably had to do with the fact that you were starting a season after no fans at games, and then you were filling up the stadiums again. So you're doing it in Madison, which that's a huge that was a huge part of it. But I like this because there's no test driving team.
Yeah.
When you've got to play Thursday night at Purdue, a 9-4 team that's going to throw 50 times on you, most likely.
Yeah.
You can't just kind of ease your way into this and go, well, if we don't have the right 11 guys out there, I know we can mix and match. I know our options that we have available. You've really got to know your position right away. You don't get that time. So maybe I even like it a little bit more because of the road issue. I mean, Penn State hasn't done that, at home.
Right.
So I like it, it being kind of a road game too.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would be different. It just, home schedules, either you're playing that, maybe the marquee kind of game where they played Arizona back in
99.
Or going to like Giant Stadium, playing Central Florida or something like that, or MetLife now. sorry, MetLife. But I really like it. I don't know that it's an annual thing. I don't know that I necessarily feel comfortable with it as an annual thing. Maybe more of a conventional opener on occasions. But the last couple of years, Penn State doing it 2 years in a row, I think it's great. I don't know that they really want, obviously, to be doing that annually, of course.
Yeah. It's an opener. Is it potentially a tone setter?
Yeah, last year's absolutely was a tone setter. You got a real sense of the defense being a playmaking defense. They really obviously set that tone. Sean played pretty well in that opener last year. You got the sense that that was going to be a good football team, and that really was until that, into that first quarter against Iowa. So, yeah, I think that game last year really did set a tone for Penn State that changed because of injuries. And I think this game should do much the same.
So, in the end, it's not official what the TV contract's going to look like, but all the indications are Fox, CBS 330, NBC, which has been the talk since mid-May. It's the part about ESPN, it now looks like, being out. What's your thought on that?
You know, I find it a very aggressive move on the Big Ten's part not to have ESPN as part of this broadcast. And it doesn't come down to just the singularity of having a game on ESPN. It's the other 6 days of the week that ESPN still generates, not just on television, but even across all its digital platforms.
Yes.
It generates like the talk about college football. It is like the college football talk show for the most part. And it provides a lot of content for that, the college football space, college football atmosphere. And you really have to wonder if that gets backseated in some ways. Like ESPN obviously shows NFL highlights from other games. That's clear. But will those Big Ten games get backseated? Will Big Ten conversation get backseated? I didn't even know ESPN knew hockey existed when they didn't have their contract.
True.
So they're not going to ignore it. They can't ignore the Big Ten, but they can strategically elevate the SEC. And by owning so much property within college football and driving so much conversation with college football, I don't know if that's going to have an impact on things like, playoff seedings, playoff voting in the future, bowls necessarily, who gets, which teams get into bowls and things like that. It's a bold play on the Big Ten's part to take away the other 6 days of conversation for this, three-piece broadcast network of games.
If the college football playoff were to expand and they went with a multi-network platform, which means ESPN and also somebody else or multiples, does it then blunt the idea of being shut out?
Yeah, because then ESPN is a de facto partner again in some ways, because you're right, they're going to have games, so that'll be the broader college football playoff, the 12 or 16 teams that's going to include 3 or 4 Big Ten teams, whatever it is, that will make a difference. Yeah, no question. I think for the interim, and honestly, there might not be much interim, in that space. It might only be a couple of years.
Right.
It might be one that you don't have ESPN on the Big Ten deal and then the 4-team playoff, too. So it might not mean much, and maybe that's what the Big Ten part is part of their thinking, too. It could definitely be part of their thinking, is that ESPN is really going to be an ancillary partner in some ways because of the playoff.
And if you play a non-conference road game, you'd be on ESPN probably anyway. So you're not going to be completely shut out on ESPN. At some point, they actually do have to talk about you because you went someplace else to play. Mark, always a pleasure. Great to talk with you, and thanks for all the valuable time you give us.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime, Steve. Great to talk to you, too.
Mark Wogenrich, FanNation at SI.com. We will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. And they will scrimmage tonight, which is great. And and they want to do it this evening because the game is 3 weeks from tonight. They want to scrimmage at about the same time that the Purdue game is going to be played. So that's why they're going to do it in the evening. And it's 3 weeks from tonight, so that's why. So So there you go. Few items to talk about, including the TV package in the final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a great service department that takes care of it all. So let's talk about the service department for a moment. Because we know that SMC stands for Sunbury Motor Company. Selling more cars. And satisfying more customers. You have a 107-year-old dealership that has a great reputation. That means people want to go to you. So you need more technicians. Well, they're looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body, frame and alignment, and towing departments. So whether you're an experienced technician, entry-level technician looking for the first job, someone looking for a career change, they absolutely want to hear from you. So you can stop by in person. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com. Or you can call Todd at 286-7746. So the NBA will retire the number 6. The way Major League Baseball retired number 42. The number 6 will be for Bill Russell. All 30 teams will retire it. And that was announced this afternoon. Meanwhile, Tom Izzo has signed a 5-year, $31 million deal, an extension, valued at $6.2 million a year to stay at Michigan State. That's a raise of about $2 million more per year. Tom's now 67. And under the category of a rarity, the Phillies lost today. They lost to the Marlins 3-0. So they're now 41-20. Since June 1st. That's remarkable. It was just a great day on the mound. I mean, Cabrera, Okert, Floro, and Scott combined on a 7-hit shutout. Gibson didn't pitch badly when 6 innings, gave up 6 hits, 2 runs. It's one of those days where the Phillies just, one of the rare days where the Phillies could not generate offense, and that is rare. And for the Phillies, it's only the, what, fourth time all year they've lost to the Marlins. All right, now let's get to a little bit on expansion. Just a little bit. I was a guest on a show this morning. It was one of those wide-ranging interviews. You know, they wanted to know about my career. They wanted to know about Jack. They wanted to know about the current Penn State football team. And then they wanted to get into some opinions on what has happened issues-wise when it comes to transfers, name, image, like this, and Big Ten expansion and the TV contract. So this is like a 35-minute interview. And and I was asked about, you know, further expansion. I said, look, unless it's Notre Dame, as you, you know, and you guys know, you've, you know, you guys listen to the show all the time. As I said, if, you know, if it's not Notre Dame, it can't really be anybody. Nobody brings enough cachet to the table. And they asked about, they were talking about markets. Interesting. And they brought up Atlanta and Georgia Tech. And I said, and of course, that's one I haven't heard for years. And I said, look, I said, this isn't just about the market you're in. I said, the Big Ten is already in with the addition of USC and UCLA, the number one, New York, two, Los Angeles, three, Chicago, five, Philadelphia. Now, what's Baltimore, Washington, like eight, something like that? I said, they're already in those markets. And his argument was, and I understood it, that Atlanta is a big market in the South where the Big Ten isn't. And I said, look, this is more, I said, this is a combination. It's got to be market and brand. I said, if you are a network TV executive and you are plotting your weekend, do you sit there and say, oh, it's great, we got Georgia Tech on this weekend? Nobody says that. And I say that with all due respect to Georgia Tech. But Georgia rules down there. Then it's the Braves and the Falcons, the Hawks. I mean, Georgia Tech is way off the radar. I said, so that doesn't do anything except, I said, that's the equivalent of being, I said, if you sit there and you say, I have LaSalle, I've got the Philadelphia market. No, you don't. Now, Georgia Tech and LaSalle are not, with all due respect, the same. I've got that. But I said, Atlanta, I said, Georgia rules Atlanta. Georgia Tech doesn't. I said, so you've got to do things that are logical and make sense from a brand and a market point of view. And there was a tweet put out about Cal and why Cal should be so desirable. And I'm like, I don't know about this. And I see stuff like this, and I don't really know who was putting this out. I saw who was putting it out, but somebody I had not heard of before. And you're talking about how you absolutely need to have Cal because that gives you the Bay Area market. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at that like, where do you come up with that? I mean, while it's true, Cal's in the Bay Area market. So technically that would give you the Bay Area market. Technically. So, yes, it does. But it doesn't. Cal football is not a big deal in the Bay Area. Cal's not the brand that people, I mean, that some people seem to think it is. And I read this tweet, and it And it didn't make sense to me. Because, I mean, and I understand where the writer was. Okay, I do understand this part. The writer was coming from it from a popular, from an idea of the size of the market. So I understand that. And so that part I've got, but it made no sense from a brand point of view at all. It really overrated Cal as to what they mean in the landscape when they don't. And that's what struck me about it was it lacked the logic of the brand. And that you've got to be able to combine the markets with the brand. So it goes back to Georgia Tech. So Georgia Tech is in Atlanta. But that's all they have going for them. They're not a brand that moves the needle. Even when they won the national championship in 1990. They split the title with Colorado that year. The next year in 91, they opened the season with Penn State in the kickoff classic at the old Giants Stadium. And there isn't a single Penn State fan going into that game that didn't expect Penn State to lose. They didn't think they were going to lose. Everybody thought Penn State was going to win, and they did. And there was the, quote, defending national champion that had their quarterback back and other people back. And Penn State fans were like, yeah, so? And Penn State did win the game with an element of ease. And I mean, but that's the brand. The brand tells you that even when you win, everybody's like, that's really great, but they don't see it being sustained. In other words, it's one of those, they can have a great year deal. And that's how people view teams like that. The brand is the ability to deliver over and over again really good TV numbers for TV networks. And that's what it's about. That's what it's about. And so you've got to be able to combine the brand with the market. And it's got to fall into place where it's both. So that's why, for example, and it was an interesting theory about Georgia Tech. They qualify on market, but they don't qualify on brand. Because the TV guys aren't just, it doesn't move the needle for them. And that's what needs to happen. USC and UCLA moved the needle for them. And I read some of this stuff. I read the guy's tweet, and I'm looking at it like, the heck are they talking about? You know, how you have to have Cal because it gives you the Bay Area. And like, no, you don't. Industry sources have already said to the Big Ten, we're not paying the same money for those other four schools we're going to pay you. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get another $320 to $4 million a year so that each one of those four get $80 to $100 million a year. So it's not worth it to them. That tells you right there everything. All right, we'll take a break. Wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right. Tom Brady missing some practice time. It was actually planned, they said. They said no one's worried. It's not medical related to him or anybody close to him. And he's just getting a break. So... Buccaneers general manager Jason Lick said that Brady's absence was, quote, the least of their concerns. Now, it's good news for Blaine Gabbert, Kyle Trask, and Ryan Griffin. They're the ones that we're going to play in the preseason game. So. And, by the way, the Cardinals prospect, Chandler Redmond, is the guy that accomplished a rare feat, as I mentioned in the last half hour. He's a 25-year-old double-A second baseman playing for Springfield in the Cards organization. He went 5-for-6 against Amarillo. In the game, he had a solo homer, a 2-run homer, a 3-run homer, and a grand slam. And... only 18 major league players, of course, have ever hit four home runs in a game. And one of them is the last one to do it is J.D. Martinez, who did it with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So four home runs is rare to begin with on the major league level, and this is minor league. But it's only the second time it's ever been accomplished in organized baseball. Tyrone Horn of the Arkansas Travelers was the first to do it. In a game against San Antonio 24 years ago. And it turned out at the time, the Arkansas Travelers, by the way, were also a St. Louis Cardinals affiliate. So, congratulations to him. That's quite the feat to go out and do something like that. Love the games. Love the games. And, you know, I mean, I realize that it's the news cycle that goes round and round. But I was talking earlier, and we have Brendan Quinn on. I mean, it gets to the point where nothing, almost nothing, really surprises you anymore. USC and UCLA was a surprise, so let's not kid ourselves. But for the most part, almost everything else that happens, breaking news, and you sit there and go, okay. All right. So much stuff going on that nothing really moves the shock needle anymore. And that's why I get to the games. we do news, we talk, we do talk, more talk, more talk, more talk. And obviously that's what I'm doing here 10 hours a week is a lot of talk. But it's the games. I mean, the games to me are better than ever, more exciting than ever, greater athletes than ever. Now, there's some elements of games where you sit back and say, like, you know, baseball is too much, you know, strikeout, walk, home run, when there are other ways of scoring, which I think are starting to come back in the vogue. I'm seeing a little more hit and run now. I'm seeing more stolen bases now. Still not seeing guys go to the opposite field. As Yogi Berra said, hit it where they ain't. Seems to be a sound strategy. But you feel like, at least to me, I find the games more entertaining, more fun. Whether it's, I don't care what sport, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, speed of the games, the athletes, the games are great. In terms of the news surrounding it, oh, there's some interesting elements to talk about. No question about that. But the idea that, you know, here comes shocking news to talk about. Well, no, it's not shocking news to talk about it. You know, it's breaking news. Serena Williams is going to retire. Okay. I got it. Father Time is undefeated. Father Time won again. Okay. You'll get fun stories, great stories, sad stories, but very few, because I think we've seen so much of this in our lifetime, very few shocking stories. Every once in a while you get one, no doubt. You sit back and go, whoa. But there are very few woes anymore until you get to the games, and there's a lot of wow and woe in those. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.